Blog Talk Radio.
Midnight Hour with Pastor Lou of Maryland Altar, broadcasting live from Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. In this evening's segment on the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, Wednesday, July 24th, 2013, at 11:02 p.m., going to cover the Nakuru Grand Mega Healing Revival and Service that will start August 9th through August 11th in Nakuru, Kenya. And this is part of a series of the Mighty Joel 228 End Time Revival, the promised end time revival that we read and hear in the word of the Lord and the mighty works of the Lord that are being performed globally on behalf of his glory for the church and the end time saints to prepare the church for the coming of the Messiah. In the United States, one would not really be aware, and very few are, that there is any revival going on. For we know in the States, we look very much like a goat nation and not a sheep nation. And we see as a goat nation, we are promulgating and propagating homosexuality throughout the land and not rebuking sexual sin. We are not rebuking immorality, unrighteousness, and unholiness. No, in the United States of America, we are actually trying to proselytize the rest of the world on our ungodly, unholy ways, the ways of the fallen church and the house of the Lord in the United States of America. And we have become a land infested with false prophets and false apostles and false pastors, and false teachers, and we have merchandised the blood of the Lamb. We have diluted the power of the cross. We have corrupted the gospel. So it's perfectly understandable that if someone is sharing that the Joel 228 revival is here and now, that there would be those listening in the United States, the children of the Lord especially, that would be scratching their head, dubious, and at the very least, very cautious. But I want to run through some hard evidence, some empirical evidence, which is difficult to refute. There's eyewitness testimony to the mighty end time revival of Joel 2:28. And we'll get to some of the scriptures here shortly. And I, Pastor Lou, I am a personal witness and went to Kakamega, Kenya in August of 2012. And what I saw there was absolutely over the top mind-blowing, for the holiness of the Lord did show up. The cripples walked, the blind received their sight, deaf ears popped open, and the biggest showstopper from where I was sitting was the leper being cleansed. Also, in Kakamega, there were a number of former HIV AIDS patients with tomes of documentation and doctors and former prescriptions and the PCR tests to prove that at one time they were positive, but now they were negative, and they looked very healthy. In fact, many of them looked better than even I did at the time. And that was the glory and the power of our God being poured out on the end time church. So the end time revival is real, and not just in Kakamega, Kenya. There have been many cities in Kenya for revival where the miracles of the Lord have manifested. There have been other countries such as Venezuela, recently in Italy, also soon to be in Angola. And we are seeing a separation of the goat nations from the sheep nations. And one thing is consistent in the Joel 2:28 end time revival that we're seeing right now is that those nations that repent and turn from their sin and return to the Lord and holiness and righteousness, walk away from the corrupt gospel and sexual sin and worldliness and carnality, and return to the Lord, return back to the message of the blood and the cross, to turn back to the ways of the Lord instead of the ways of the world. For we know in the United States, the church looks nothing at all like the Church of Christ. Instead, she looks like the church of the world. But what we're seeing in nations, the sheep nations that are repenting, was shortly thereafter, the Lord is pouring out his Spirit upon his children, and heaven is opening, and the goodness and the gifts and the graciousness of the Lord is being poured out. And so we see all sorts of unbelievable, truly unbelievable miracles manifest, where we know HIV/AIDS has no cure, and yet dozens upon dozens are being healed. And we see this also with blindness, and we see it with deafness, and we see it with all manner and ailments of sickness. And more dramatic is that now that the sheep nations have repented, when they're no longer goat nations, now we see a church in revival that is preparing for the coming of the Messiah, that is preparing to stand before the Messiah. This is what we are seeing around the globe. Yet in the United States, a country which is historically extremely ethnocentric and self-centered. That is, if it doesn't happen within the confines of the U.S. borders, it must not be happening. But I'm a firsthand witness, and there are others, tens of thousands upon millions of other children of the Lord, that could tell you that sure enough, the Joel end time revival, the Joel 2:28, the Haggai 2:6, the John chapter 2, latter wine, surely greater than the former wine, And what the Lord is doing is truly almost shocking to the conscience, how mighty and powerful he is and how gracious he is to his children. I want to start with Joel 2:28, and we'll read the scripture briefly and go into some testimony. The Nikuru August 9th through 11th End Time Revival can be watched live through JesusIsLordRadio.info. That's one word, JesusIsLordRadio.info. And there will be a live simulcast, and both video and audio. And there you will see, from at least the vantage point of a U.S. citizen, things that you have never seen before, but you have read, and we know the Lord is consistent, and you have read in the Word of the Lord, and we will likely see even greater things than that in the Nikuru Grand Mega Healing Revival, August 9th through 11th. And again, it's JesusIsLordRadio.info. It's free. It's just a streaming internet connection. No cost, no charge, no obligation, no nothing. A gift from the Lord. The End Time Revival itself is a gift from the Lord. For we know that salvation, that is the ultimate gift and the ultimate price that Christ paid for the church to enter. So we have these nations around the globe, some in Europe, many south of the equator, many in, such as example, Kenya, Angola, Chile, Venezuela, and the list goes on, where the nations are preparing to present before the Messiah. We have many nations, Western, industrialized, modern nations, really struggling to separate from the world, really struggling to separate from the brainwashing and the witchcraft of the fallen church in the nation, a church that has taught things of this world rather than the things of God. And that is very unfortunate, but the good news is we know the portals of heaven are open today for every believer to return and repent, return back to the Lord, to turn away from sin, the doubt, the unbelief, the carnality, the witchcraft, the sorcery, the sexual sin, the unmitigated lust for entertainment and sex and sexual sin in the States, particularly in the United States, where now we have our daughters walking around like prostitutes, and you can't really distinguish where people are going on Sunday, whether it's to church or to the brothel or to the bar. But let's take a look at the Joel 2:28 revival, and we'll start at chapter 2 of Joel. Verse 28 through 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Amen. That's Joel 2:28 through 32. And when we read in verse 28 that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, the Lord means exactly what he says. And we have seen the daughters of the Lord prophesying. But we know in the States that they're not going to be prophesying dressed as prostitutes and dancing carnally in church, or even worse, in the disco. And today, in many churches, particularly the contemporary and relevant ones, the ones that believe there's a modern God in heaven. It comes right down to it, they're believing there's a modern God in heaven, even though the Lord, he changes not. But those contemporary churches run many discos, run much in carnality, and they turn the house of the Lord into a marketplace. Very difficult for the Holy Spirit to be hanging, if you will, with riffraff, for his first name is holy. And the church has diluted and deluded herself into thinking that she can live carnally, and the Holy Spirit will tolerate that. Or better yet, even the thinking has been, we can put the Holy Spirit in the box for 10 to 15 minutes at the service and then go about our programs and plans. And that is not the way the Lord works anywhere in the Bible. For the service is the Lord, the work is the Lord's, and of course, the children of the Lord belong to the Lord. But here we see in the end time revival that the daughters of the Lord surely will prophesy. I have seen this firsthand, and the daughters of the Lord do prophesy. I have not seen any prophesy dressed as a prostitute. I have not seen any prophesy in the spirit of the Lord, should qualify that, with the booty shorts and the tank tops and tight jeans and that type of clothing that reveals anatomy and all immodesty and is just designed to be scintillating or titillating. No, I haven't seen that, nor will we. But the daughters of the Lord are prophesying, those that have returned in righteousness and holiness, those that have returned back to the blood and the cross. The church in the United States has forgotten the power of the blood and the cross, the power to deliver from addiction, the power to deliver from depression, the power to deliver from oppression, the power to deliver from everything that ails a dead in dying world. In the United States, we do see things that have just flung completely out of control. An angry country and a very confused country, because the church is obviously very confused, and rather than walk the highway of holiness, she's taken another path. And so it's tempting as an American listening to the Joel 2:28 revival to think it doesn't exist because it's not happening here. But I do have on the calendar, so it can be eyewitnessed, even if it is via video and radio, do have the August 9th through 11th Nakuru revival, so folks can actually watch that in real time. We also have firsthand witnesses. In fact, we ran a segment just a few days ago, and we discussed what happened in Kenya when the Lord pronounced judgment. And they refused to repent. Judgment came, and then they changed their mind and said, oh, the Lord really meant what he said. Let us repent and gather as a man and return to the Lord and leave our wicked ways behind. Let's not be like Lot's wife and look back. No, we go forward. Repent means to turn, to turn 180 degrees and go in the opposite direction. And so they shared firsthand testimony of what the Lord did when they returned. And it was mighty. And till this day, they are reaping the fruits of repentance. The good news is that the power of repentance, and while the portals of heaven are open, the graciousness of God will rain down like a flood. The graciousness of our God, the gift in the storehouse of heaven, will fall upon the children of the Lord. In the United States, that's been perverted. They say, oh, the storehouse of heaven, that must mean money. No, it does not mean money. And I think it's clear now that with all of the money and all of the prosperity and all of the wealth of the United States, she cannot save herself and has done nothing for the family and has done nothing for peace. It has done nothing for righteousness. It has no power to deliver from death and suicide and addiction. That's why we see so many miserably unhappy Hollywood types all throughout the land. For money is not the answer. The blood of the Lamb, the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the answer. He's the answer. That's the answer the church has to share in the United States of America. And she's off in another gospel and has nothing to share but a prosperity gospel. But the world already has that. The world already has unholiness. The world already has sexual sin. The world already has confusion. And they certainly have their fair share of unrighteousness and hypocrisy. They don't need that from the church. Nevertheless, globally, there are nations that are not goat nations. The United States is starting to look very much like an unrepentant, stiff-necked goat nation. But there are those sheep nations that are seeing the storehouse of heaven rain down. So to see this end-time revival, one needs to go where the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. And Nakuru is one such place. Kenya is the land of revival. And there have been many, many revivals there. Absolutely astonishing. Let's read a first-hand account of the Kakamega revival. This is a third-hand account. It is here, it is now, and it is simply beyond belief, announcing the triumphant end-time revival prophesied by Joel, chapter 2:28. Preparing the garment of the Lord, Revelation, chapter 19, verse 8. On a vast grassy plain, millions of people from various tribes, tongues, and country gather in miraculous order with a single-hearted purpose to worship the Lord. Weeks of preparations, including worship, prayer, repentance, and fasting, even dry fasting, and of course, more repentance to prepare the heart. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Then for 3 days and three nights, using only the canopy of heaven above as the evening shelter, continuous worship ensues. That's worship all day and all night, so that we're clear on that. Accompanied by instruments, singing, and joyful noises unto the Lord. Afterwards, the spirit of Elijah arrives. Dr. Awar, the Lord's end-time prophet. And almost immediately, the cripples begin to walk, the blind receive sight, the deaf hear, the mute speak, and HIV/AIDS is healed, though not necessarily in that order. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9. Joy breaks out in massive waves, with weeping and laughter sprinkled throughout as the Holy Spirit visits, the mighty Holy Spirit. And now the American church really needs to pay attention to these last two sentences, please. Not one single penny changes hands, and not one offering is taken. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the healing, and the meetings are all free of charge. It was paid for at the rugged cross of Calvary. Righteousness is the only currency that matters here. The latter rain, Joel 2:23, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Holy rain falls, that's literal rain, after the mighty prophet of the Lord prays for it. And this occurs while those outside of the meeting actually remain dry. It rains only in the meeting and puzzles all who go to these meetings just to verify this one miracle. And that's true. There were many people who came from all over the world and from every continent. When the rumor of holy rain falling started to circle about. But it's no rumor. It is true. And they've come from all over the world to see firsthand. And of course, doctor-certified HIV healing reports stand by the ready to verify others. This end-time revival is focused on the kingdom of God and his holiness. It's about preparing for the coming of the Messiah. The miracles confirm the word of the Lord so that the church might enter the kingdom of God and not recycle back to sin. It is not for show business, and it is not for money, and it is certainly not about building one's own kingdom. It's about preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. Because this was the promise, the very same verse that Peter read and quoted in Acts chapter 2, that before the Messiah, we would see this great outpouring. Yet we don't see the outpouring in the goat nations, but we do see this in the sheep nations. And this is unfortunately news to most of America. This is news. It's hard to believe because we've seen so much falsehood. We've seen so much sophistry. We have seen so much forgery in the United States of America, where they have faked miracles. They have lied and cheated and stolen from the sheep. And now the United States, and many in the United States, are over the top as far as being skeptical. And that's understandable, given that the church has turned into nothing more than a charlatan, and all the ministers are just clamoring for money. We covered last week that there isn't one person out there that can't buy or sell something in their church, whether book, pamphlet, CD, DVD, candle, holy water, holy oil, it gets worse. And yet, the merchandising in the house of the Lord even in the outer court. That's exactly the reason Jesus made the whip and beat them out. And well did he prophesy. We have turned the house of the Lord into a den of thieves. So, of course, the church in the United States has been deaf to the global news of what the Lord is doing. She's not aware that the mighty end time revival is occurring right now. And one can ask around, Pastor, or one can ask the sheep, have you heard? And they will not have heard. Very, very few have heard. And as we read in John chapter 1, verse 19, the Pharisees themselves wouldn't go out to see the revival that was going on with John and the disciples. Well, we recall many were repenting and being baptized, showing fruit of repentance in the wilderness with John. But the Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't go. No, they had to send messengers out, other priests, Levites, and go find out what's going on out there. We're hearing about something. But here in the States, they haven't even heard. But now they have. And now many in the United States are starting to get a waft of the glorious end time revival and what the Lord is doing. And it speaks to the prophetic timeline that really and truly we are out of time. And that for sure, the Messiah is at the door. The church in the United States has been preparing for a wealth transfer in things of the world. The Lord is shaking the church to get her attention, to know, prepare for the coming of the Messiah, prepare to stand before a righteous, holy Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have a church that's in the quagmire of sin. Spiritual ears have been stopped. Spiritual eyes have been blinded. Spending hours upon hours consuming ungodly entertainment, being defiled by false prophets and false apostles. And we've gone through this many times, that there are no prophets in the United States, and there certainly are no apostles in the United States, not of the Lord. And there are no prophets of the Lord in the United States. They are all false. They are of the enemy. And we know that because Christ said you'll know them by their fruits. And if we had one prophet in the United States, the church would have been in repentance long ago. We wouldn't see the Lord pronouncing judgment on the United States unless she does repent. And that judgment we covered earlier in the week, July 16th, if my memory is correct. And we did a follow-up as well at the Maryland altar for, I believe it was July 21st. And good firsthand testimony on the July 16th through 17th with some ministers from Kenya that shared what it is like when a country is under the judgment of the Lord, and tremendous judgment of the Lord. And so let's go to a firsthand testimony of the Kakamega revival, what the Lord is doing. And this is one of many revivals. There was a Kisumu revival after Kakamega. I did not make that. That was in December 2012, January 2013. But I did make the Kakamega Kenya revival in August and September of 2012. And there were probably 2 to 3 million people in attendance. It was hard to count, because the area itself held a couple hundred thousand, and then it went several hundred yards deep in a circle all about the area and including the city. And it was standing room only for at least, and this is just an estimate, probably a half a mile to a mile before we even got to the stadium. and I was about half a mile to a mile away in a hotel, and there I could hear them singing and worshiping the Lord, sure enough, all day, but even more gloriously, all night. And so 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning in Kenya is only around 8 o'clock our time here, East Coast, or roughly. It was very nice to worship the Lord. They were going very strong at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. And of course, I was still awake because I was on East Coast time. And so I did hear that, and the sound of glorious worship and the Lord being exalted all day and all night for many days nonstop. So I saw the cripples get up and walk in Kakamega, Kenya, and I was humbled. And I saw the blind receive their sight and was truly amazed. I heard the mute speak for the first time, and the deaf hear. In fact, an entire village school for the deaf had their ears opened by the mighty Holy Spirit, and all but two actually recovered their hearing, and then the other two came back the next day, and the entire school was healed. And that was probably 8 to 10 students. What was amazing was that the teacher brought them. And in the United States, you would unlikely ever see that, because once the teacher who specialized in special ed brought students that could hear, he was basically handing in her job resignation. And that wouldn't be something you would see very often in the United States. But there, they were all jumping up and down, and they were very excited, and it was absolutely amazing. And I was stunned. I witnessed a myriad of HIV/AIDS cases healed that were certified by several medical doctors, and the altar was absolutely packed with them, as well as the United States Centers for Disease Control. The CDC had verified many of them based in Atlanta, right here in the United States. The doctors held PCR tests. That's the gold standard, the polymerase chain reaction test, very expensive. It's the ultimate gold standard, and tomes of government documentation for the AIDS that was positive, and now coming back with PCR test negative. I didn't need that to prove it. You could tell by looking at them, these people that had AIDS and a death sentence looked like they had never been sick before, and they had the joy of the Lord all about them. It was really very, very glorious. It was contagious, in fact. Let me explain the drama of biblical proportions that unfolded before my eyes when the leper was cleansed. And at that point, I was personally completely undone. That is Pastor Lou, when the leper was cleansed. You don't see those in the United States of America. You don't see leprosy. And your first response when you see it is you want to run. And in the scripture, we know that it was common for them to shout, leper, leper, and run. And really, you don't have to teach that. It's almost instinctive. And the flesh condition is just horrible, and it looks excruciatingly painful with the wounds. And it's just very difficult to describe because we don't see anything like it in the United States at all. Plus, this leper was a young girl. It was hard to tell the age because her entire body was leprous. And then as the Lord would have it, I was in the VIP tent, and it's just a tent to get out of the heat. But since this area of the country is at the equator, the sky and the sun, it's like brass the way it beats down. And whereas it's hot in Texas or in Florida, the sun is always at an angle. It's not directly overhead. But there, when you're at the equator, the sun is just absolutely punishing. Long story short, I made my way over to the tent to beat the heat. And before my eyes, the mighty prophet sent the leper into the tent to get out of the sun as well. and she literally sat right behind me, and I could see her healing before my very eyes, and I heard the Lord tell me not to worry about the leper, that he wasn't finished healing her, very similar to where we read in the scripture that the lepers were healed on their way. And sure enough, a few weeks later, they began publishing more pictures, and the leper is almost completely unrecognizable, and she looks very, very beautiful. And within 1 month later, she looked almost completely whole. But the question that comes back to mind, and very disturbing, is where were the rest of the American pastors of this global revival of Joel 2:28? There were, as I mentioned, about 3 million people in attendance at Kakamega, and there were pastors attending and representing every single continent on the planet. And that's Australia, and that's Africa, and South America. We had a pastor from Canada and North America, and we had them from Europe, and we had them from Asia. Yet, where were the American pastors? In fact, the church from the island of Malta, which is in the Mediterranean, roughly the size of Hawaii, probably smaller than Hawaii, dwarfed the U.S. church in attendance. Absolutely dwarfed. It was humiliating to see all the pastors from all over the world, and the Americans were sleeping, and the Americans were not there. There were no American pastors there. Pastor Lou was there, but that's the exception. As a witness, I could find not one American pastor. And so the question, why is it that the Americans were not there? The American sheep or the American pastors? What about the American bishops? What about the American church? Is it because the healings were free of charge, paid for by the blood of the mighty Lamb of God? That would be completely foreign to the church in the United States of America. We know all she does is transact business. How many church events do you know that are free and advertised as free, where they're not raising money, not looking to sell, not looking to get offerings, sell something, gimmick this or that? We know it. It's so common, it's absolutely expected. It's become expensive to become a Christian in the United States of America. And what's more embarrassing, we even have membership and membership fees, and some churches, and these are, you know, supposed to be spirit-filled churches. These are Assembly of God type of churches, Pentecostal churches. These are supposed to be the spirit-filled churches. I'll come right out and tell you, well, there's value in membership. There are benefits in church membership. You know, you got to pay your church membership fee. That's so astonishing. It's hard to say with a straight face, but they do. That's not a rogue church. This is common. Go to any church and sign up and see what the requirements are. In fact, just the signing up alone is a little bit embarrassing and quite telling. But where was the American church? Whether they were signed up or not, they were nowhere in sight. But the church in America has become drunk with pride. We see this in James chapter 4, verse 6, and Proverbs 29:23. And its materialistic pursuit at the pulpit, we have grown numb to sin and absolutely dumb in spirit. And that's why there's no power of God in the house of the Lord in the United States. Because we're wallowing in sin, we're not repenting from our sins, and we have forgotten that the Holy Spirit's first name is holy. We have forgotten that as the Lord, the mighty Holy Spirit, directed Paul, put together in Romans chapter 6, that the blood of the Lamb does indeed cover our sins. but just as important, it's the blood of the Lamb that enables us to overcome sin and not be overcome by it. We have the grace to overcome sin. And the church has taught just the opposite and has compromised and said, you don't have to worry about sin because you have grace. And they're headed down a different path. And they're taking the children of the Lord down a disastrous path. Where was the Church of the United States and where is she today in this glorious end time revival? I've witnessed it firsthand. And I have seen it, and it is astonishing, and it is shocking. We know that the church has become numb to sin and dumb in spirit and blind. And as powerful as the miracles were, and as amazing as the healings were, there was nothing more obvious to me as a firsthand witness than the resplendent holiness of the Lord and his righteousness. When he showed up at the end time revival at the meeting of the saints in Kakamega, Kenya, August and September 2012. The holiness of the Lord is a difficult thing to describe, particularly to the American church. And the best that I can do with words is describe it as a steamroller that moved at the speed of light and flattened everything in sight. Everything. Absolutely flattened. From the altar of the Lord all the way to the outer court, the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord flattened everything in sight. And that's why when we read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 21, if memory serves me correct, that the day would come, declares the Sovereign Lord, when the earth will conceal her slain and the blood shed on her no more. In other words, the day would come when the Lord would open the eyes of his servants to see sin. And we read this last week in Lamentations chapter 2, verses 14. And that's the job of the prophet, to open the eyes of the servants of the Lord and expose sin. For if we do not have the sin exposed, we don't even know what to repent of. And this is true. There are people right now consuming horrible entertainment on TV, they're watching shows about adultery, and they don't even think that's sin. They're thinking, well, what's wrong with adultery, and what's wrong with revenge, and what's wrong with sexual sin? Oh, it's just a little bit of pornography. Oh, it's just a little bit of violence, mayhem, and mutilation. Surely the Lord can't be disturbed by that. And yet it's absolutely contrary to the Lord. In fact, the entire programming schedule on commercial TV in the United States is hostile to the Lord and hostile to the Spirit. The whole thing needs to go. And the whole concept that we can consume whatever entertainment we want to, because after all, it's just entertainment, is unholy and ungodly. But we know that it's the righteousness of the Lord and the holiness of the Lord. Now, we see it firsthand, and flattens everything in sight so that sin is revealed. It's unmistakable. And that was Kakamega, Kenya, August and September of 2012. And I was a firsthand witness. And the message to the United States is clear and it's urgent. We need to run now. We have one, the mighty prophetic word that judgment surely is coming if we don't repent. If that wasn't obvious enough to us before, we need to run now and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Because we've been preparing for the wrong things in the United States of America. And we need to trade in the Versaces and the Armanis for sackcloth and ashes. what I described last week, what sackcloth is, and as a reminder, you can just get burlap over at Home Depot or any of the lawn and garden stores. It's the things you throw on the garden, designed to keep the weeds down, cut a hole in it, and you now wearing a very mighty, very holy garment that you can pray in and repent in and fast in. And at this point, you don't even need to go out into the public sector and display your new wardrobe. But certainly you can do this in the closet with the Lord. He will see and honor that. And as the Lord shows more, maybe the day will come and we don the sackcloth out in the public and actually work in sackcloth. We'll see what the Lord does with that. But it's clear we need to move out of the comfort zone of the flesh, which is hostile to the Lord, and begin to wear sackcloth and seriously begin to mourn for the Lord for our sins, which have been piled and heaped up into heaven. And we're missing out on the greatest revival in the history of the church and in the history of the world because the United States church is mired in sin. It's time to prepare to present before the King of Kings, for Jesus is certainly at the door. And we know that time is evaporating. And even those out in the world, even those that don't know the Lord, the pagan, the heathen, the secular, they see that things have changed. They see that the economies of the whole entire global complex is collapsing and hangs by a thread. And they see governments collapsing overnight. And we saw it with the Arab Spring, and it's still developing and has not been brought to conclusion. We see signs of that all over the globe, and the catastrophes and the judgments of the Lord that have come with earthquakes and famine and pestilence. But everyone has seen the pickup and the pace and the flood, the disastrous floods, 500-year floods, 300-year floods, unheard-of floods, unheard-of earthquakes. Even the heathen know, oh, yes, time has certainly changed. And we have unimpeachable testimony that the words of the Lord's prophets and servants are now fulfilled in real time. If anyone would be curious and would like to see that Kakamega revival, when I was there, we have been handing out DVDs free of charge, no cost, no obligation, no spam, no fooling, all over the globe, and also in the United States, to anybody that writes and asks. They're free, and they're very high-quality DVDs. You can also see these on YouTube. You can just Google, as an example, on YouTube, the Kakamega 2012 Revival. But if you'd like the DVDs and you want to play them in your church or play them in your home, you can write me at Lou, L-O-U, at highwayofholiness.us. Or you can go to the site, Highway of Holiness. That's one word, highwayofholiness.us. Or just write Lou, L-O-U, that's Pastor Lou, at highwayofholiness.us. And we send these out almost as soon as we get the request. And they have gone out through the four corners of the United States to those that have been seeking. They want to see, is this true? What does this look like? What does this end time revival look like? And it's exactly what the Lord told us it would look like, where the nations gather. He would pour out his spirit, and the mighty deeds of the Lord are performed. And it's really beyond my ability to describe. I highly encourage the United States and all the listeners to begin seeking the Lord and to repent and turn from your sins. Now is the hour. Now is the moment. Not tomorrow, not next week, but right now is the time to seek the face of the Lord and to turn from our wicked ways. For this great revival is going on, and it is going on for the benefit for the church. That's why the Lord is doing this, so that the church is prepared to enter into the kingdom of God. And the Lord has sent Elijah. before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's the Malachi 4:5, end time servant. And just as the Lord sent Elijah for Israel's revival, and all of Israel had gone over to Baal and the altars of Baal, the Lord sent Elijah, and the altars of Baal came tumbling down. And the Lord reminded Elijah that there were 7,000 others that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And so it is today, and that the Lord has sent the spirit of Elijah, again, just as with John the Baptist, to prepare the children of the Lord for the coming of the Messiah. And so that's it for this segment. The Nakuru Grand Mega Revival can be watched in real time. I highly encourage it, August 9th through 11th. And also, there'll be another one in Kisumu if the Lord tarries that long. But for this August 9th through 11th, you can catch it live on JesusIsLordRadio.info. We'll try to broadcast live from Nakuru, and we're working through some of the telecom issues right now. We'll see how that goes. But even if we're not able to broadcast live, the radio station and television stations will be broadcasting it globally through the media. And the U.S. best bet will be through JesusIsLordRadio.info, and we'll have a live video stream too. So if you're listening to this, and as we close, and you're wondering, wow, we've really blown it. If even half of this is true, even half of it's true, we have been snoozing. But the truth of the matter is, it's all true. And the documentation is there. And the DVDs are there. And you're hearing from a personal end-time eyewitness. And so now is the opportunity to repent and return to the Lord, that He would open your spiritual eyes and open your spiritual ears and cleanse you with the blood of the Lamb to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. So let's repent before the Lord. Sovereign Lord, we thank You, Father God, that the portals of heaven are open. This day, we repent, Lord, of all of our sins. We accept Jesus Christ, the wonderful work that He did for us, Lord, the precious sacrifice of the blood and the cross. And we cross over and we accept You, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Fill us, mighty Holy Spirit, and fill us anew in Jesus' mighty name. For today is a new day. We are again in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. If you've just said that prayer, ordinarily you will hear, find a church and a good Bible study, and I don't know of many God-fearing, Bible-teaching churches in the United States, and you always have the option to build a home study within your home, and that's a great environment to start. And you can also write me at lou@highwayofholiness.us. And until the next segment, and as the Lord leads, tomorrow Pastor James Ngugi will be covering the Laodicean church age. Shalom, shalom.